Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is 11, and that means it is time to be joined exclusively on the phones by Kirk Cousins, starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins. Kirk, this song worked last year, and we liked this song. I think year three, we need to come up
Let's do a 3.0.
A new song. We had a song in year one. This was year two. And hopefully we'll never hear it anyway because we're just going to be playing Hall & Oates every Monday after 300-yard performances and wins. But just think about that. By the time the regular season starts, we need a new song.
I was just chuckling hearing Creed again. I can never escape the fact that I tweeted that one time and said it was played at the team lift. It's hilarious. But, yeah, I think we're probably ready for a new song. I'll have to give it some thought and get back to you guys. But until then, I'm okay with Hall & Oates and Creed. It just kind of fits, I guess.
You tweet it once, it's on the internet forever, man. I've learned that the hard way a couple times. Kirk, going to yesterday, man, just give us your impressions of the first-team offense and you guys getting working out there. Just some overarching thoughts.
Yeah, I felt like the positives would be we really did run the ball pretty effectively. I was really pleased with that. I was pleased with the 75-yard drive that we had. We were able to punch it in. And, on the negative side, again, too many three and outs for different reasons. Certainly the interception is a game-changing play that just can't happen. And, a lot of those three and outs are very fixable. We can say that it's fixable, but it's all talk until it gets fixed. So we've got to be better. And, it starts with me with the ball in my hand.
Take us through the pick six. At the start of the play, when I go back and watch it, you look like you looked left to kind of look that defender off, but maybe he didn't bite or buy it and just perfect had it telegraphed. I mean, what happened there?
I think he said it pretty well. Really needed to start with Chris Thompson and get to him right away rather than wait. And by waiting, I allowed Burfict to close the gap and then make a great play. And if I'm going to work Jordan Reed's side like I was starting to, I need to just stay there and then progress to outside if Jordan's not the throw. And that's really a basic read that shouldn't get messed up like that.
Well, I hear sirens in the background, Kirk, and Kirk Cousins is with us. I was worried we were going to need some ambulance when you're chasing Burfict down and throwing a flying shoulder block like it was a fighting video game to save a touchdown. I'm going, oh, my God, no, please, eight, be safe. What's going through your mind right there?
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to do was extend my arms and try to wrap him up and then risk a shoulder injury. But I thought just throwing myself at him, going low, maybe I trip him up and our defense can hold him for a field goal. So I had to do something, but I wasn't going to try to form tackle him by any means. So I did the best I could within reason.
Jay Gruden couldn't be more wrong, by the way, when he says he wants his quarterbacks making tackles after interceptions in the preseason. That's just incorrect.
I'm going, just give him a courtesy after going, oh, he's too fast.
I like Jay Gruden. He's never been more wrong about anything. Like you could be like, kale's the best food, man. I love kale. Kale's better than a cheeseburger. That's a less dumb comment than that you should make a tackle after a pick in a preseason game, but I'll digress. Terrell Pryor, you guys don't seem to completely be on the same page yet. I don't know what's a drop and what isn't. A lot of balls hit him in the hands that haven't been caught. What is your confidence in him right now?
Well, I think it's growing. I think, we did hit a big third down conversion, and one thing we haven't done in the preseason is really go over the top with Terrell. We haven't taken him down the field and tried to really light it up, and certainly that's one of his elite traits. So some of it hasn't been put on display of what he can do, but, every single one of those incompletions, you could argue, either was a really tight play that was going to be tough regardless, and if it was a catch, it was going to be a really good catch, or the ball wasn't exactly thrown right on his face mask. So, I can take just as much ownership in any of those incompletions. And, I'm always looking at, how can I throw that ball a little better? And frankly, in all those, I think, he is pretty open. The ball could have, should have been thrown on his face mask. So You know, there are ways we can continue to be better and build that. But again, it's still early in the process. He just, you know, we haven't had a regular season game yet. And so I think it's going to be constantly evolving with him, and we're going to get better and better as the year goes on.
Kirk, any frustration as you guys, those first four drives, it's, you know, three and out punt, three and out, the loss of a couple yards on a field goal after the turnover, and, you know, and then obviously the interception we talked about. Did you guys feel any frustration, any irritation at kind of like, come on, man, we got to get this thing going before you guys came out and marched down the field on that 10-play 75-yarder? What was the kind of the tenor of the guys? Were you guys a little bit ticked off?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is, you know, frustration or just confusion as to why won't it come together. But when you look at the whys, the first third down of the game, a third and short, you know, our receiver is in motion when Niles Paul is still getting his hand set in the ground, and they throw a penalty flag, and we essentially get the first down. It was a, you know, a penalty that happened before the snap, and then as a result, now we're back up third and six or whatever it was, and then we have the sack and don't convert. So there are things like that where you say, as good as the Bengals are, you know, that's completely self-inflicted. We can correct that, and who knows, if we get that first down running the ball without the penalty, we stay on the field, and you never know then what happens. And so there are plays like that where you say, guys, we just got to tighten down, you know, and I start with myself, you know, I can make sure that motion and that player is set so that there is no penalty. And then when that happens, now we give ourselves a chance to really let our talent and our players play and shine. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you say, we've got to tighten down before week one, because if, you know, football's hard enough. If you're not doing those things well, it's going to be hard to find a way to win on Sundays in the NFL.
Kirk Cousins exclusively every Monday on Grant and Danny after Redskins games, joining us on The Fan. So how do you parse up? You've had two seasons as a starter, and you put up some of the best numbers in the league, but yet three preseason games as an offense with a new cast here, and it hasn't clearly been up to your standards or what you guys want. Not that you should be concerned by any means, but you're probably not playing again, I'm guessing, right? You're not going to play against Tampa Bay. Next time we see you is against Philly. So what is your feel then going into that game? Like, do you guys feel any different, better, worse than before the game started, or you feel the same and basically the games are kind of coincidental?
I think there's a sense of urgency, understanding that the preseason was far from perfect. Not that we expect to go out there and play perfectly, but it was far from perfect. And as a result, I think it's going to help our preparation, getting ready for Philly, understanding we got to have an edge to us. But I think two of our better preseasons as a team came in years since I've been here, came in years where we went 3-13 and 4-12. So I don't take a whole lot of stock in the preseason and how sharp we are. Although, you know, at the same time, I mean, it is football. You are going against real NFL defenses, and you want to look as good as you can. So, you know, if anything, we realize, hey, we got a long ways to go. We're a work in progress, and that should be reflected in the way we prepare for week one. But at the same time, you know, the last thing we're going to do is hit the panic button or you know, change our approach to the point where we're trying to blow everything up and start over. I mean, we're you know, we believe in what we're doing, and we know we've had success. And I think it's more of a attention to detail and discipline. And when you start to do those things, the players start to make plays.
Kirk, talking operation, the sort of Jay Gruden play calling rhythm, it sounded like you were pleased with that last week. How was that developing, and how comfortable are you that week one you guys will be seamless in that regard, getting plays in and out of the huddle, et cetera?
Oh, it's been really good. Again, Jay got the plays in early yesterday and gave me a lot of time at the line of scrimmage. I never felt rushed. He's very decisive. You know, it's a very, very clean game plan for him. He doesn't see it as being complicated or hemming and hawing over calls. You know, he's very straightforward and very direct. And I think it's been a good rhythm thus far. So hopefully that can continue throughout the season and, you know, have good communication back and forth all the way through a game plan and through the season.
Chase Roullier made his debut as a starting center with Spencer Long out. How did that go?
I thought he did really well. I mean, first of all, making all the calls in the run game as their safeties rotate and the linebackers come to line of scrimmage or blitz or fronts change, you know, he's got to adjust to that and identify where we're all blocking. And I thought he did a really good job with that. I thought he was very calm. He didn't seem to be a deer in headlights. It wasn't too big for him. And then in addition, he, you know, handled the pass protection as well as, you know, fronts moved and people blitzed. He really did a good job identifying everything. So I felt comfortable with him. And that's a big step to go from a sixth round pick, you know, from Wyoming to jumping into an NFL game like that starting. And I felt really good with the way he played and certainly gives us some depth going forward.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. Another guy who played really well was Rob Kelly. He may or may not have needed that performance with Samaje Perine breathing down his neck, but he really reminded people what he did so well in the second half last year to steal that job, didn't he?
That's right. Made people miss. I thought he always, you know, got us the best we could out of each run. You know, there's not you're not watching the tape saying, man, I felt like you should have cut here, or you should have cut there, we could have gotten this or that. It's not what it could have, should have. It's, you know, great job. You know, you got us two more yards than we thought you would. So that's fun to watch, you know, especially from my point of view after handing the ball off. And then, you know, in addition, he's starting to get better in the pass game. You're going to see him catch the ball more this year than last year. So he's going to develop into a more complete back and really just another good teammate, a guy I love playing with.
Kirk, you guys are still developing that chemistry, you and Josh Doctson. When did you find out he wasn't going to be able to go yesterday? And, you know, is that kind of an opportunity lost for you guys to build that rapport?
Yeah, he went out for warm-ups early in front of everybody else just to test it and felt like it wasn't going to be there for him yesterday. So ended up not going. And it is tough, you know, because not only are we missing those opportunities, but it'd be one thing if he's a 5 or 6 year veteran who's played a lot in this league and then, you know, is new to us and we need to build that rapport. But when he's, you know, new to this league in general, he's a young player, it's kind of a double whammy where you really want him to get the reps to learn this league and to learn specifically our offense. So, again, much like our offense, it's a work in progress, a lot of potential, you know, a lot of belief that it can be really good down the road, but we've got to turn it into production, and it starts by getting him healthy and keeping him healthy.
Kirk, it is time for our fan question of the week, presented exclusively by Justice Federal Credit Union, servicing the justice and law enforcement community across the nation. Visit them at jfcu.org. Our question comes today from John on Twitter, who says, for Kirk, is throwing to bigger receivers who may not get as much separation, a guy like Pryor or Doctson, more daunting than throwing it to smaller, faster guys? Differentiate between those two things, if you would.
Sure, yeah. I would say it's something we've talked about all offseason, how there should be an inherent advantage there that we can throw guys the ball who appear to be covered and they could still potentially make the play just because of their size. And, you know, we're still learning that a little bit, but, you know, you want separation, whether you're big or small, you want a guy to separate, and you're going to first say, hey, you know, win on the route and create separation. And then if it doesn't happen, then yeah, you can make us right and still make the play. But, that's what we really want first and foremost. And, you know, we talk about Terrell Pryor's speed. I do think that he can separate down the field. I mean, if we give him a chances and put it out there for him, he'll go get it. And many times in practice, if he's even with the defensive back, he's leaving. In other words, by the time I let it go, it may appear like it's a tight throw, and then by the time it gets to him, he's 5 or 6 yards separated from the defender. So that's some of that trust we got to build and develop through practice. And I'm excited to just start giving them opportunities here in games.
Hey, Kirk, last one for you. What's your schedule like this week? Maybe some of the starters. You guys going to maybe stay behind? Are you flying down?
Didn't you guys, like, watch the game on TV somewhere last year?
Yeah, like a watch party or something, right? What are you going to do and then getting ready for week one?
Yeah, last year with the tropical storm that came through, the team left the day of the game, and Coach Gruden decided just to hold back the guys who weren't going to play because, you know, you end up getting back at 3 a.m. and that kind of a thing, and it wasn't worth it if you're not going to play to just stand in a rainstorm for 3 hours and then get back and miss out on some sleep. So we stayed back last year. I think this year we're going to go down the day before after the welcome home luncheon and, you know, go through our normal pregame preparation. Usually the guys who aren't going to play go to the stadium a little early and do some conditioning and make sure we're still, you know, moving and getting the blood flowing. And then from there, you know, just hopefully just be able to watch the game and let the younger guys compete to make the team and put some good stuff on tape. And then, you know, come back through the night on Friday morning. And then, yeah, from there, it's getting ready for Philly. And they got to cut the roster down to 53. And that's where the coach's focus is this weekend. And then we get right into it with our normal routine, getting ready for the season. It's finally here.
I'm pumped to get this thing started. Yeah, we're ready to go. I guess you guys didn't get to watch Mayweather and McGregor as late as it was, huh?
Well, they made it available in the hotel. You know, each guy could access it, you know, in their rooms, or, you know, on their phones if they wanted to pay for it. And I actually set my alarm. I went to bed. I was feeling tired. I was trying to stay up, and I went to bed around like 10 o'clock and set my alarm for 11:30 to get up and turn it on. And my alarm went off at 11:30, and I was knocked out. And I said, "No, I'm staying in bed." So I just hit the alarm off and went back to sleep and woke up in the morning and checked to see what you know transpired. So sounds like it was a good fight. I don't know a whole lot about boxing, but Floyd's from West Michigan, where I'm from, so I kind of pull for him, and he's made us proud.
That's cool. Well, job well done as you guys are ramping up for the regular season. Thanks so much, and we will chat with you again for real next time as you get ready for the Eagles.
Thanks, Kirk.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Very much looking forward to having him on the show after every single game, good or bad, touchdown or pick, all season long. And a big thanks to Lindsay for making that segment possible for us again this season. I drive around my Lindsay car, and they make that segment possible for all of us, so we appreciate that. 1 to 10 level of concern for the first-team offense. That's the question next. 800-636-1067. Pick a number. 10, you're the most concerned you can be. 1, there's nothing to see here. I got nothing to worry about. They're going for 450 yards against Philly in game number 1. How do you feel about the first-team offense right now?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.